guys, I'm Heather, and I'm the oldest. She's the emotional one.
You're gonna hurt. Do not.
Like, I don't know if
I'm
trying to get it to come out here or here.
Jesus. Mary. Joseph and all of his carpenter friends.
Hey guys, I'm Ben. I'm the middle child.
And he's the practical one.
Okay.
Oh, what am I going to say though?
Now y'all made me nervous.
It's going to be a time.
I'm a sensitive boy.
I'm Beth, and I'm the baby.
She's also the swing vote.
Got the little frilly socks and everything.
Together, we make the Music List Podcast. And welcome back to the Music List Podcast. I am Ben. With me are my sisters, Beth and Heather.
Did you forget?
I did, because we also have a guest. What do we call this? It is a guest, but a co-host. Julia's with us today.
Hello.
And that is Beth's
niece.
Yeah. I'm awful with family. So yes, and you're here because we're siblings that argue while making music lists. That's the shtick. That's what we do. And by the way, this is maybe the worst intro we've ever done, but. And it's all my fault.
Who's we?
It's all my fault. So, it being October, we found out that we were doing way too many Halloween episodes every month to continue to have really good episodes every year. So, what we've decided to do is to do one Halloween-themed episode every month leading up right before the one right before Halloween, and then maybe doing a band or artist that could lead up into that. So if you want to hear
Halloween adjacent,
right. So you know, like I think Kiss last year, we did Kiss last year in October. You know, there's gonna be bands like beep, 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 beep. That's the Beatles. Alice Cooper, you know, groups like that would be Halloween adjacent. That's a good way of putting it. And Julie's going to be helping us with this one because, number one, this is like your brand of music. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. like this is, and you also are. I mean, I've heard you play guitar. It's really good.
Thank you.
So let's start with you. Let's get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So I mean, talk a little bit about like. Our listeners kind of understand what kind of music I listen to the most, and Beth and Heather, we talk about that. So, like if you were to talk about your musical taste, what would you say, like, are your favorites that you really kind of lean into?
I would totally say Ozzy is, like, one of my number one things I listen to. I also like a lot of 90s stuff. I've gotten into, like, Third Eye Blind and all the stuff like that, Alice in Chains, Creed. Mm. And I really like heavy metal, so anything like that, I'm all in for that.
Yeah, so this is right up your alley then, because we're doing the best of Ozzy for this, because Ozzy's pretty Halloween adjacent, right? I mean, we've bitten heads off of bats, Prince of Darkness. He was in a band called Black Sabbath that sang about witches and demons and all kinds of stuff and all kinds of, you know. I say good stuff, not good stuff. Sang about bad stuff, I guess, really, depending on the point of view. And unfortunately, this is October. So how long now has it been since Ozzy's passing?
It was July, wasn't it?
So, be about
end of July?
Yeah, three or four months.
Or August, maybe it was beginning of August.
Yeah. And for a lot of Gen Xers, this one hit really hard.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that it hit hard for a wide swath of people, right? Because you had like in the Freaks and Geeks 70s, the people that listened to Black Sabbath, like those people grew up on Ozzy. And then Ozzy became really mainstream in the 80s when he had his own band, Ozzy Osbourne. And then he became like this cultural icon afterwards with the TV show, and everybody got to know, like, quote unquote, the real Ozzy, right? The one that sat around in his pajamas. Sharon. And
we just rewatched the Osbournes right before he passed. It was weird.
Yeah. So. And you know, it was a totally different look at Ozzy. And I think people that would not or did not ever listen to his music, I think, came to learn to love Ozzy as just a funny, kind, compassionate human being, you know. And that, so that was neat to see. He's weirdly became a cultural icon, and a lot of it was because of the reality show, I think. But then you've got his music, which can be dark, can be at the same time thoughtful. I think we're probably mm-hmm. going to be some songs on here that are like meaningful and what's the word I'm looking for? I mean,
I don't know. Give me a little more.
Well, I mean,
$50,000 pyramid.
They're reflective on relationships and stuff like that, you know, which when your first image of Ozzy Osbourne is probably not that reflective person as an artist, you know.
I think that was probably the biggest thing to come out of the television show was to see him as a family man mm-hmm. and how absolutely dedicated and quote unquote normal he was with his children who kind of ran over him sometimes mm-hmm. and you know he was just a flustered dad mm-hmm. and so you could see that love in his music sometimes in his lyrics.
So you probably don't remember the Black Sabbath era.
No, that was in. That
I mean,
was
you were a baby.
Yeah, before baby, I was baby. Born. Right. I was, they, you know, 70.
Well, he left, and then they added Dio.
Mm-hmm.
So right. You were you ever alive when Ozzy was
in Black Sabbath?
In Black Sabbath?
I don't think so.
But you distinctly remember the Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh,
era.
For sure. And I was, as you can imagine, since I've been interested in all things, you know, spooky and scary. Mm. We had
the macabre.
We had a cousin, Cindy, who, when I would go visit in Atlanta, she had this really great record collection. And so she, you know, you're looking through her records and she had Iron Maiden, you know, with Eddie on the cover and Bark at the Moon and, you know, Blizzard of Oz mm-hmm. and A Diary of a Madman. And you're just like looking at all these record covers and it looked so spooky. And then in the MTV era, you know, his videos come out. And then there was a very distinct shift in his music in the 90s. The videos became much more polished and he wasn't. I think he was kind of on a journey with sobriety.
Which was a long and winding road
yes,
for him.
And
for
so, sure. But he wasn't playing these, you know, crazy characters like in the, well, we may or may not talk about Bark of the Moon later, you know, but those striking Prince of Darkness, almost campy visuals that he had in the 80s. Gave way to much more sleek, dark rocker vibes in the 90s and past that.
And you mentioned the vinyl covers. I mean, his the vinyl cover game for him got a huge boost post Black Sabbath.
Oh,
Black
yeah.
Sabbath mm-hmm. album covers are awful. They're awful.
His solo stuff were campy, I thought.
But they were, but I mean, but number one, his logo was really good. Like yeah. the text.
Very distinct
you know, it was
font.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was something else that I really thought was interesting that I wanted to talk about first before we got started. We might have to get started and I'll just interrupt somebody.
Okay.
How about that? How about that? Doing that stuff. there's an inside joke. So the draft order for this episode, Beth is going to draft first. Here's the way this works. Beth will draft first, Heather will draft second, I'll draft third, then we're going to snake draft, which means I'll get the first pick in the second draft, and then Heather and Beth, but Beth will get the first pick in the third round, and then Heather and then me. Well, that'll give us a total of 9 songs, and we're going to cut it back to 5. But now, here's an interesting question for Beth and Julia. So, whose picks are these?
Oh, they're mine.
They're yours. Okay. So, Beth is over there doing homework or something.
She's
keeping the notes.
When you ask later, what songs do we have? Like, you don't follow the order of what we pick.
I don't write it down.
Well, I do. You're welcome.
Thank you. So, I guess really, Julia will draft first then. And okay. Then
Beth's like, no, Mike, no problem.
Yeah.
So, man, I wish I knew what that other thing was.
It will probably come to you right in the middle of something I was saying.
This is not what it is, but we do want to go ahead and tell you, first of all, that we have been nominated for several different categories in the RCAST Awards. So before we get to the picks, we do want to lead you to the RCAST posting voting mechanism. And Heather, you've got our categories that we've been nominated for?
We are nominated in the Best Arts Podcast, Comedy Podcast, Music Podcast, which we won last year.
Defending World Champions.
Yes. Male Hosted Podcast. We didn't get nominated for Female Hosted Podcast. Anyway, so.
It's a spectrum.
Yeah. Podcast production company. Look for Studio 114 Productions. It's at the very bottom of the list, so it's easy to find. Podcaster of the Year. We're all listed together.
Mm-hmm.
I really want that one.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I want to. Producer of the Year. For some reason, they didn't put
our logo
with Sean's name, but look for Sean Sanders. Yeah, and that's it. Right? Yeah, I think so.
And special thanks because Sean's out today. So we have Mark, Heather, Beth's husband, filling in for us to do our producing. So, Mark, thank you. So yep. we can get these things on the air. Much appreciated.
Yep.
And really, it does a lot of technical help behind the scenes for the podcast. Mm-hmm. As well. So, I guess we can get started. Julia, you get the first pick in the very best of Ozzy Osbourne.
Okay, my first pick is Goodbye to Romance off of Blizzard of Oz, released in 1980. So this actually highlights the end of Ozzy's career. That's what the song's about. And it was actually the first song Ozzy and Randy wrote together. So that alone kind of made it to me. And plus, I just love it. Really showcases Randy's like classical influence, because that's what he studied, basically. That's where he came from. And, like, just the, especially the guitar solo in it, it is so melodic. And it just shows he wasn't just a shredder, you know. Like, that's what some people may say. He's just, oh, he's just playing a bunch of random stuff. But this song is not like that. It's beautiful. Like, it's almost like a ballad, I would say. And, like, it's just, and all these vocals, like, the lyrics, it gives a more, like, vulnerable, that's another one, mm-hmm. like, it's not, like, scary, like, Black Sabbath or whatever. So, it's just that, I really like that song, so that's why I chose that for number one.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it because, and I, what year was this? It was,
You said 80?
1980.
So, you know, you've got Ozzy coming out of the Black Sabbath, you know, and you kind of expect that first song to be Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hits you with basically almost like a love song to his former bandmates, you know, right. like a breakup song. It's really a breakup song, you know. And I just wonder, because, I mean, I was born in 1980, so I don't remember the release of this, as it turns out. But I wonder if, like, these big Black Sabbath fans waiting on Ozzy, then you get this, and I wonder, like, did he go soft? You know? I mean, is this not the Ozzy that we all knew?
One thing about Ozzy, though, is that he made no bones about the fact that he worshipped the Beatles, and you can hear that influence so strong in that particular track. You can,
bum, 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 it da, just, da, da, da. I mean, the Beatles do that a lot.
It just, I think co-writing that song, I think it, their influence came out a lot in that particular track.
Yeah. And it was one of those, when he passed, it was one of those that was played over and over and over again too. So, yep, that's a great one. Heather.
Ooh, okay, we're gonna go for something a little different. 1970 from the Paranoid album, War Pigs. Hmm.
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Okay. So this was written by Geezer Butler, who was the main lyricist for Black Sabbath, their bass player. The original title was Walpurgis, which is a witch's Sabbath. And to Geezer Butler, this was in 1970, so you have Vietnam going on. And to him, war was what he called the big Satan. It was just evil itself. And so the first line is an analogy. Generals gathered in their masses just like witches in black masses. And so they said that Walpurgis sounded too satanic, so they changed it to War Pigs, but they left the lyrics because they were already written. And so in, I don't know what, in 2023, Rolling Stone ranked this number 5 on the 100 greatest heavy metal songs. Guitar World named it the greatest heavy metal song ever. Fun fact,
Oh. Uh-oh.
She's going to need that. It's time for a fun fact. Fun fact. Yeah. Okay. As we are all Arkansas Razorback fans, several U of A teams who are, you know, the Hogs or the Razorback, they use this as their tunnel, you know, walkout music and stuff like that. It is still charting, or it was as of not very long ago, on the global Billboard, the Global 200. And I'm sure that with his passing, a lot of Aussie songs made a resurgence on that. It's got that iconic riff, a really powerful anti-war message. The bass and the drum work is really good. And I love how they're, you know, Aussie's voice is so distinct. And this song, with the message, it also, there's so much space in there. It's kind of like this call and response thing almost with his, they don't try to compete the riff and the vocals. And so they'll leave that space for him to put those vocals in, and then they'll do another, you know, riff or a breakdown. And it has been called, and I don't know by who, but somebody, that's not me, somebody on the internet called it the crown jewel of heavy metal.
I think that's fair. That's a fair comment there.
I agree.
One thing that's going to be interesting is how many Black Sabbath songs do we have on the list versus how many Ozzy Osbourne songs we have on the list. And so that's an important distinction to note, is Ozzy Osbourne was the name of the band, right? It wasn't just Ozzy. It was the Ozzy Osbourne band. Like, when you joined Ozzy Osbourne, you were the Ozzy Osbourne band. It was kind of a weird distinction. And I learned that on reading Nothing But a Good Time. Mm. You know, like, it was a big deal to be in the Ozzy Osbourne band. I mean, it was like being asked to be a part of one of the other big bands of the 80s. Yeah. It wasn't like you were a backup to Ozzy. You were part of the Ozzy Osbourne band. So, like, people would, like, in recognizable bands, when a spot would open up in the Ozzy Osbourne band, the band was called Ozzy Osbourne. So it's not like, you know, the Steve Miller band. It was Ozzy Osbourne. But be that as it may, which it tells you a little bit about, like, Randy. I mean, it was as much as it was an honor, I'm sure, for Ozzy to have Randy Rhoads in the band. I mean, it was as much of an honor for Randy to be in Ozzy Osbourne. So,
oh, for sure.
But what's interesting as we count those things down. No. What's interesting as we count these things down is, like, when you listen to when you listen to Ozzy in Black Sabbath, it feels like they pull the grit out of his voice, like that grit, that natural kind of
it is
darkness. But when it's Ozzy songs, like, even in some songs that are dark and have a lot of this kind of this sense of theater to them, it seems like they pull out the cleanliness of his voice, if that makes sense. Like, it just, it makes him sound maybe it's more polished, maybe, is what it is. But he sounds more, I don't know. I mean, like,
there's definitely an evolution to his voice from the Black Sabbath years to his solo work.
Yeah,
you can tell here that in the early stuff that there is a, and it could be production somewhat, and how many takes they do, and, you know, especially when they're recording onto tape at first, just all the aspects of production are different, but there is definitely not as polished. But for this song, I think that works perfectly.
And so, one last thing, do you guys know what War Pigs really were?
Let
me tell you. So I taught history. Here's what War Pigs were. So when the Romans would fight like the armies and the nations out of Africa, particularly like Northern Africa, think Hannibal and stuff like that, Carthage, etc. They would have war elephants. And the Romans had no answer for war elephants because elephants are freaking huge, right? African elephants are massive, and you can stab them, and you can throw spears at them, and you can do all this different stuff, but it's really hard to kill an elephant.
Right.
Particularly in the ancient world, yes. Right? Okay, so what the Romans did, and this is how they figured out, I mean, if you've got, you know, an army... 50 war elephants, the easiest way to cause destruction was they would put pour tar, hot tar, on pigs, set them on fire, and unleash them towards the elephants. They were war pigs, and it would cause the elephants. Now, the elephants would be scared to death of these running, because, I mean, you got these pigs. Oinking and screaming and
like,
you know,
what?
Like, you know, sweet, whatever,
do it again.
You know, whatever they're doing, you know, oink, oink, ow, it's burning, I'm hot, running towards the elephants would scatter and kill their own people.
That's very interesting.
That's where those were war pigs. They
is
were,
that true?
They
that's
were rude. Flaming pigs. Oh, they were.
Sometimes you say stuff that I'm like, I don't know if I believe that.
It is true.
If anything, that is the most metal thing I've heard.
It's very metal. I love it.
All right, well, I guess I'll pick now. The last mm-hmm. pick. So it's 1-1 if we were to keep a tally, right? Ozzy Osbourne versus Black Sabbath. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put another one in the Ozzy camp with Mr. Crowley. Probably move on, or they're going to flag it on YouTube when we try to post it. So, this was off the Blizzard of Oz album, which was his debut solo album, written or co-written by Osbourne and Randy Rhoads and Bob Daisley, who's the bassist for Ozzy Osbourne at the time, and became a significant hit and is one of, I think, one of his quintessential solo songs for sure. What I particularly love about this song is it feels like it comes right out of a haunted house.
Yeah.
You know, the atmosphere, the content is about one of the most famous occultists of all time, Aleister Crowley. And throughout the song, what's really interesting with the lyrics is like there's like this hesitancy, like, I don't even know if I want to ask these questions about it, you know? Like, do I want to know? And I feel like that's how a lot of people kind of get sucked into the occult, right? They're curious, you know? Like, curiosity leads them into these dark places that they ought not go, probably. And then you get... That's how a lot of the horror movies start, right? You get sucked in and you didn't know it. You open a door you didn't mean to open. And so a lot of it is...
You go investigate the noise.
You go, right. Don't say I'll be right back and all that stuff. But so you've got this great partnership between the theatrics, the atmosphere that they've done, wonderfully done. I mean, it is literally like you when we do our horror theme next week, like the instrumentation and the composition would have made a great theme song for a TV show or a movie. But then you've got not only the feeling and the atmosphere, but you got, and I wish it was tough for me to select what part to play because there are two Randy Rhoads solos in this that are freaking phenomenal. One of them is basically he lifted right out of Bach, and you know, it's the something fist. What is it called? The, I don't know. I'm not, you're the one that went to school for music. Parallel fist.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I remembered it. Yes. Parallel fist. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned Randy Rhoads being like classically trained. I mean, he's brilliant.
Right.
And so you've got the great musicianship, the atmosphere, and then you've got Ozzy, who really we've discussed a lot of times about liking vocalists that kind of have that emotional pull. And one thing that's hard to emote, I guess, is maybe that's the right word, or portray in a song is nervousness. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people can do sad.
Yeah.
A lot of people can do mad. Ozzy does a really good job of kind of this nervous fear deal, and like he portrays that really, really well in this song. Like I'm asking all these questions. I don't know if I really want to be delving into it, but it's really interesting, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that all those things put together make this on the list. And then, you know, it's one of those songs that for 1980 stands the test of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still one of his most beloved songs. And, you know, when you do that off of a first album and you're coming off the, I would imagine the expectations for Ozzy were very high,
mm-hmm.
you know, with that first album. I would think that the Blizzard of Oz album, that debut album, you know, because Black Sabbath had success post Ozzy,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. I mean, Dio in his own right is phenomenal.
Fantastic. You know? Yeah.
So now you've got Ozzy branching out on his own. The expectation, he had to come up with something, or he was going to be almost, I would say, not a laughing stock, but it would have been like, well, we know who made the band. But now there was, I think it kind of entrenched his legacy. The how successful Blizzard of Oz was entrenched his legacy within. What are you laughing at?
Sorry. No, it's fine.
One thing I really like about this song, I don't want to sleep on the drums on this song because this song stays consistently and like to a metronome level. It stays in 4/4, but it doesn't feel like that.
Yeah.
But, and that lends itself to that hesitancy that you're talking about, but the syncopation that the drummer uses is so, it, you can't groove to this song at all because it is very, you know, you're sitting there kind of bobbing your head and then all of a sudden it stutters, but it stays in time the whole time. So it's just an interesting musical element that they use.
It's definitely iconic. Like this, probably one of my favorite guitar solos of all time is in that song. It's just incredible.
Yeah. I mean, then we did, when we did 80s guitarist,
mm-hmm.
I don't remember where Randy ended up on that list.
Higher than originally thought.
And I don't know how, because he might have been my number one. He might have been who I had number one.
No, I don't think you did have him number one. He kept moving up the ranks. And I get hosed for, you know, everybody's saying, well, you don't like Randy Rhoads. I do like Randy Rhoads very much. But I was fighting.
You were fighting for Eddie.
Of course.
I mean, I don't. Yeah, I get the love affair with Eddie, but I mean,
that's not a love affair with Eddie. He needs respect in this room, on this podcast.
I give him respect. I always give him the respect that he's due. I just don't give him more than he's due. That's all.
She said, oof.
I mean, I like Randy more than Eddie.
Thank you.
I will say it. I will say that.
That's that.
We needed her on that the 80s podcast. So, I get another one. Yes, I get yes. I get a repeat performance here, and I think we are going to go. We're going to tie it up 2-2. I'm going to go with Iron Man. I wanted to leave a little bit of that in there, so because as much as I love Randy Rhoads, I don't want to leave Tony Iommi out of the conversation because fantastic guitar player. In fact, he was on our 70s list, I think. I don't know if he made the top five, but he was in the discussion to make the top five if he wasn't in the top five. So how... The lyrics for this song actually, and this is, by the way, 1970 from Paranoid album. So the way that the lyrics for this got started is this was just a guitar riff that Tony Iommi was playing at practice. And Ozzy just remarked it sounded like a big iron bloke walking about. And so they just called it at first Iron Bloke. And then they built the lyrics around that, basically. And so that's how you just never know where your lyrics are going to come from. But that's where this one came from. So I lost my place. I sure did. Well, I can tell you what I like about this song, which is significantly different than my previous choice, is it goes back to that idea of this is a different sounding Ozzy than we get in Mr. Crowley. It's a different, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a different, he almost sounds robotic in the way that he's singing this song. I mean, he almost sounds da 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 da, you know, I mean, it's really just kind of robotic in a sense, which is in and of itself atmospheric for what they're doing and what the song is about. Again, because we're doing the best songs, like is this Ozzy's best performance? No, I would say probably not Ozzy's best vocal performance. But as a song, again, that's one of the reasons I wanted to leave that Tony Iommi part of that solo in there, because it is, in my opinion, that's one of my favorite solos of his. And again, you're going back to the second album for Black Sabbath, right? Black Sabbath was one. Black Sabbath, and then Paranoid was two. And so, really, we've talked a lot about bands that have one big album and then they fall off on their second one. This was probably an album where the second album was better than the debut. And mm-hmm. for most mm-hmm. bands, that's pretty rare. Because bands typically, they play together for 5 or 6 years. They write songs for 5 or 6 years, in some cases longer. Than they'll have 27 songs on the shelf. They pick their top 10. They make an album. It's good because they pick their best 10. Then that producer says, okay, we need another one in 8 months. And then they've quickly put together a bunch of songs. Or they've taken some that were not the first cut from the first 27 that they wrote or whatever. But that was not the case for Black Sabbath. So anyway, this one really for me falls on the strength of Tony Iommi, but because we're doing the best song, I felt like that was fair game.
Okay. Is it my turn?
It is.
Okay. This is a sentimental favorite but I think it is many people's sentimental favorite just because of my age. From No More Tears in 1991, it is Mama, I'm Coming Home.
Times are strange, here I come, but I ain't the same. Mama, I'm coming home. Times gone by, seems to be, you could have been a better friend to me. Mama, I'm coming home.
Let this go on forever, but so I think that this is one of his most beautifully produced songs. It's so big, it's so full. Zakk Wylde on guitar, Randy Castillo on drums, lyrics by Lemmy.
I did not know
did
that.
Did you not know that? Yep. And
he said it was, seems so far out of his wheelhouse, doesn't it?
Yeah. He said it's the most money he ever made on a single song. But, and it's Ozzy's only solo top 40 single.
Really?
Wow. Mm-hmm. And it only went to number 28. But, so Zakk came in, obviously, he's coming in behind Randy. And, you know, and Jakey Lee, and wanted to do something different. And he was so inspired in his upbringing by Southern rock. He loved Southern rock, the Allman Brothers especially. And Ozzy had had the melody in his head for a couple of years. He'd been walking around with this melody. And he and Zakk wrote the music on piano. They sent the lyrics and Lemmy came back. And the solo is Zach's love for the Eagles. And you can hear that Southern rock influence there. The intro is a 12 string and a 6 string. And so basically you've got like 3 guitars playing at the beginning. That I think that I love how it's that acoustic intro and then it kicks in and then it kicks in some more on the chorus and all the soaring vocals and everything. And then because I am a lyrics person and they're inspired by Ozzy's realization that if he didn't get sober, he was going to die, you know? And of course, if you've, you know, read or seen anything about his and Sharon's marriage and relationship, they have been through it. And have stuck together through things that many couples would not withstand. And so a lot of this was basically a love letter to Sharon that I'm going to get sober, I'm going to be better, and things are going to be different. So I just think, you know, it really, and it's early 90s, and there are actually 2 videos for this song, but I like the second one that they did. It's just basically him in kind of this backlit red, you know, it's very simple. He doesn't have on like heavy,
you know, he's not scary at all. It just seems very simple and direct and well crafted. So I think that commercially, this probably did a lot to bring him some new fans, maybe. And, you know, it was a different era after the Randy Rhoads and Jakey Lee years, you know, so.
So when we did Power Ballads, did we do that by decade, or was that just Power Ballads?
I don't know. I don't remember.
So let me pose a question here, because I know the big fight we had on Power Ballads was Home Sweet Home. I remember that distinctly.
Yes, we did.
That was a freaking brawl was over Home Sweet Home. This is a better song than that, right?
I would say that it's. If you take all the elements and break them down, yeah, I think that this would win out.
I think so too.
Did you have this on your list or something?
I don't think it was. Did we do 80s ballads? Maybe I think so. We stuck it to the 80s, and this was 91. So it would not have been eligible, but. Now we'll probably do a 90s ballads, and it'll have to be on the list now, probably.
Yeah, I think it should be on the list.
Who's
It's Julia's
turn. Yeah, Julia's pick.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it seems like it's been a minute since you've picked one.
I know, but... Okay, the next one is S-A-T-O. It's off of Diary of a Madman. Listen to this song, but it's probably the least popular song on this album, if I had to say, and a lot of people thought, like, the acronym in the title meant Sail Across the Ocean, but it actually just stood for Sharon, Adrian, and then Thelma and Ozzy, because Thelma and Ozzy were together, and Adrian was Sharon's partner at the time, so I don't know where that came from, but I thought that was weird, but... I just love the energy of this song, and it's like the way the riffs flow like that, and it's just like you can just bang your head to it, really, and it's just different. I think it's underrated, and it never really reached any of the singles charts or anything, but I think it's unique in a sense, so that's why it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, this is one that I had to listen to when I got the list, honestly. But I'm such a Randy Rhoads fan that if he's playing guitar, I'm almost going to like it, because he's going to put a mark on it that is undeniably his. I mean, he's the best guitar player of the 80s.
Carry on. I'm not going to argue with you today.
Number four, if you will.
Ugh. Oh, yeah, I did make it to number four, yeah.
So who did we have ahead of him?
Oh, my gosh. Are we going to do this again?
Yeah, okay. We had Eddie, Stevie Ray Vaughan, probably.
So, yeah, sorry. I'm leaning into the microphone I stole from Julia. So when we ranked them, so it's the definitive list of 80s rock.
Stevie Ray, I bet, was my number
one. Stevie Ray Vaughan, number one. Number two, Eddie Van Halen. Number three, Kirk Hammett. Number four, Randy Rhodes. And number five was Slash.
Okay. I mean, I can see Stevie Ray.
Yeah. I think what happened was...
Are you going to try to redo this list?
No.
The definitive list?
I think what happened was I really...
Slash got hosed. That's what happened.
That's what... Yeah, because I think...
Hosed?
I think I bargained for...
I mean, okay. Kirk could have been five and...
Whoa.
And,
see, that's what happened because I think I bargained for... Kirk? I was like, I'll move Randy up if you'll put Kirk three.
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
Yeah, there were shenanigans.
Kirk could have been... If... Uh-huh. It should have been Stevie Ray one.
Mm-hmm. No. I know what you're going to say. Don't do it.
Yeah. Randy Rhodes, two.
No.
I'll give you Eddie, three, because of his technical prowess. I mean, he's really fast. Well, he's dead now, but well, he was his prime really fast. Slash four and Kirk five. I could have seen that.
Well, we've already made the list. And
yep.
Julie, what do you think? You're the guitar player.
That's right.
Oh, well, I'm biased because Randy's like one of my favorite.
Be biased. So, it's okay.
Should be Randy. Yeah. Randy won.
Okay, I think Stevie Ray Vaughan at one is fair. And then Randy.
Okay, yeah, I'm liking this list so far. That.
Pretty much what you said, honestly. I'm looking at the everything, yeah.
So
unfortunately, we've already made the definitive list.
Well, what we've learned is we're going to have to get another mic, and she's going to have to be another co-host. You get another pick.
Oh, another pick.
Right.
Your last pick.
Yep.
Okay, my next one is Believer, and it's also off of Diary of a Madman. Obviously, it's about believing in yourself, even if people try to down you or talk you down, which I think that I like that lyrical content.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I love the little guitar accents in between the, like, words, between the, like, lyrics. And it's just, it's another one of those, it kind of gives, like, especially the intro. Randy does these like weird harmonic things, and it sounds kind of spooky, and I really like that part. And then actually the guitar solo, I never realized this until recently, but it kind of sounds like the first solo in Mr. Crowley, but reimagined. So I thought that was interesting. And he really, initially he didn't even want to put a solo in there, but I'm glad he did, because he felt like it was rushed. He thought that whole album was rushed. And I just don't understand, because it's amazing. It's awesome.
It is a good album. It really is.
So that's why I chose that one.
And it feels like in this one, Ozzy kind of shows off his vocal talents a little more than he does in some of the other ones.
Those harmonies are stupid. So good.
Mm-hmm. Some of the... Like particularly with a lot of the Black Sabbath stuff. I mean, he's just hanging on one note. Just boom, 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 you know, or very little. But, I mean, he's doing runs in this one and, you know, kind of having to... And then there's the effects. There's a lot of effects in this one, too. So this was, to me, this was one of his better vocal performances. Mm-hmm. This is one where, you know, like a lot of times, whether it was in Black Sabbath and Tony Iommi was kind of running kind of the... the maestro, I guess you would say, the best musician, or when in his individual work, it may be Zakk Wylde or Randy Rhoads, as we're waiting on the guitar solo. I felt like his vocal in this one was the best, you know, part of the whole deal, which is kind of odd for an Ozzy. So I'm glad we got this one in. That was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I like it.
Who's, is it your
That's
pick?
Me.
Your pick?
My last one is the title track from 1983, Bark at the Moon. Okay, so this was written by Jakey Lee. It was his first, also his first music video. So when Ozzy ventured into the realm of the MTV era, that was a game changer for him in a lot of ways. If you, even if, you know, if you study his look prior to 1981, you know, he was the typical, you know, center part, mm-hmm. you know, just, you know, he was a poor kid from, I can't remember where he was from. Where'd he grow up?
I watched that biography on him, and it's fascinating.
Super poor. And very, you know, plain, you know, and as the 80s come in, you know, the hair changes, the makeup changes, the image starts to fall in with that MTV generation. And of course this one, he plays like a mad scientist, and it's a Jekyll and Hyde type storyline, and he turns into this huge
Warwickshire.
Yeah, I wouldn't have remembered that. Mm-hmm. But then he turns into this creature, this werewolf creature, and that's the image that was on the front on the album cover. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, 8 and terrified, but also intrigued. So I'm like, what is this? It's so scary. I got to listen. And then it's scary to listen to too, you know, and it's got kind of a, this song in particular has a bit of a Iron Maiden feel to me, I think because of the drumming. And I just think that this, if you were going to make a list of iconic Ozzy songs, this would be on the list.
And you said Iron Maiden. It almost reminds me of like if Black Sabbath had made songs into with Ozzy into the 80s and gotten polished. Like, you know, we had this conversation with Motley Crue and Def Leppard, right? I mean, they're the evolution from gritty to really polished. If Black Sabbath with Ozzy had gotten polished, super polished, I mean, the instrumentation, the vocal melody is very reminiscent to me of some of the Black Sabbath stuff before. It's just a lot more polished, and it's a little bit, probably a little bit more campy in terms of the lyrical content than what Black Sabbath would be, but just from a music standpoint, it sounds like a really polished mainstream version of Black Sabbath, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it sounds like Over the Mountain a lot to me.
I almost said that. Yeah, especially that beginning that we listened to. Yeah. Like that could be
Over the Mountain. Over the Mountain was on my big list, and yeah. I'm like, well, I mean, maybe you're just like, that was a good song. Let's do it again.
But I don't fault anybody for that. I mean, like, that's like AC/DC. I mean, AC/DC.
Right. Oh, you know, for sure.
AC/DC song sounds just like every other AC/DC song.
Yeah.
But they're all freaking great.
Yep.
You know? So, Yeah. I get one more pick. Is that I'm the last one?
You are.
Okay. So we're going to go back to, let's do the count. Let's see. What's the count on Ozzy versus Black Sabbath songs?
Ozzy 6, Black Sabbath 2 at the moment.
Oh. Wow, Ozzy has taken a big lead. I'm going to cut it by one. We're going to go back to the Paranoid album and the title track, Paranoid. So, this is, for me, and I say for me, this, in my opinion, I guess would be the best way to say it, this was the spark that heavy metal needed to take off. Because while looking back, we can look back at the Black Sabbath album, there were no hits off the Black Sabbath album. It was this album, and in particular, it was this song that woke the world up to what heavy metal was, what it was. And from this, we get, you know, we can say Led Zeppelin provided this to heavy metal. We can say Deep Purple provided this to heavy metal. But at the end of the day, the first heavy metal band was Black Sabbath, and this was the first hit from the first heavy metal band. And so its historical significance, I do not think, can be understated when it comes to the heavy metal genre itself. Let me get back to my notes. So this was, you know, like I said, it for a distinct amount of time, this was the song that kind of defined Ozzy, and Black Sabbath. It defined heavy metal. You know, this article said it was the gateway to heavy metal. In other words, it existed on this side of the fence, but in order to get people onto the other side of the fence, you got to have a gate, and this was, you know, the avenue that a lot of people came into it. And so, when we look at a lot of the other songs that maybe did not make the list, this one is just the grit, the rawness, which would define what I think the difference between heavy metal and then what would come into glam metal and hair metal and all this other kind of stuff. A lot of it's just the grit, the rawness, and that's what we get out of this song. And so for me, that's the historical significance of it. It had to be really good because out of it sprang almost everything we know about heavy metal. And now I would say, you know, like when we look at bands like Iron Maiden that would come not long after this, then you're looking at, they're taking this foundation and building on it, but this is the foundation. So
I see you making your case over there.
I'm making a case. Well, here's, I got to make my case now because I know it's the last pick of the nine. In the NFL draft, this person's called Mr. Irrelevant. I'm trying to make it relevant. Mm-hmm. So we have nine songs.
Hey, it's me.
hey, Beth.
Hi. Okay. So Ben has drafted Mr. Crowley, Iron Man, and Paranoid. Heather drafted War Pigs, Mama, I'm Coming Home, and Bark at the Moon. Julia drafted Goodbye to Romance. Is it S-A-T-O? Yeah. Okay, okay. And Believer.
Okay, so this is the part of the show where we have to discuss the songs that were on our list that did not get drafted. So, Julia, you're the guest. We'll start with you. What did you have on your list that did not get drafted?
Okay, I had... let me see. Okay, I had Road to Nowhere. Then I had Supernaut, and that's Black Sabbath. Then I had Fairies Wear Boots by Black Sabbath, and then After Forever by Black Sabbath. So it was mainly Black Sabbath that didn't get on there.
So songs I had that did not get drafted, I had Over the Mountain. I had Black Sabbath from the Black Sabbath album.
I knew you would.
Yeah. It's scary as heck, dude. I still have nightmares. No more Tears. Mm-hmm. And I actually put a Tent song on there because I'm a sports fan, and it gets played at virtually every sporting event, which is Crazy Train.
Yeah. I was surprised that it did not get mentioned, but... proof that there are so many goods.
You know,
I mean,
and to an extent, it's almost been overplayed.
I would say so. That's why I didn't choose it at all.
Yeah.
So,
it almost like if you pick it, it's almost like, oh, just because you only know three Aussie songs, you know, Crazy Train.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I also had No More Tears, Over the Mountain, Crazy Train, Close My Eyes Forever, because that's my age talking, because that was such a big deal. And I had Mr. Crowley and Flying High Again.
So on my personal list, I had 10 songs just because I'm a rule breaker. I had I had 6 Aussie songs and 4 Black Sabbath songs on my list. So now at this point, we have 9 songs and we have to cut it from 9 to 5.
Working 9 to 5.
Okay, so now we've got to figure out, it might be easy to move some over, because we may have them all in our top 3 or 5 or whatever. Like, I didn't select War Pigs, but War Pigs, in all honesty, was my number one. And you drafted War Pigs, right? Mm-hmm. Did you have War Pigs on your list?
I don't think so, no.
Did not. Oh, that's going to add a wrinkle.
A wrench. Yeah.
Okay. So you said you had Mr. Crowley on your list?
None.
Did you have Crowley on yours?
Oh, yeah, I did. It was number 2.
Number 2. So we have a 1 and a 2. So we've got 2 ones for War Pigs and a goose egg. And we got a 1, a 2, and a 9 for Crowley. The third pick, or Goodbye to Romance, which you picked, I had number 6 on mine. But you did not have Goodbye to Romance. Well, I'm glad we got through with the picks early, because this one may take a while.
Yes.
Trying to figure this out. Iron Man, which was the 4th overall pick, was actually my number 3. Did you have Iron Man? Did you have Iron Man?
I did not.
So that one's probably not going to make the cut. Then the next pick was Mama, I'm Coming Home, which I had at number 5. Did you have Mama, I'm Coming Home?
I did not.
2.
So, okay. Then S-A-T-O, which I did not have on my list. Where did you have S-A-T-O on your list? Number 3. You got your top 3.
Yes.
Okay. Believer, I did not have on my list. Bark at the Moon was next. I did not have Bark at the Moon on my list.
I think, I had it at
you
number
did have
7.
And then Paranoid. Did either one of y'all have Paranoid on your list?
No.
Okay, this is going to be a crapshoot. This is going to be interesting.
Can I make a point?
You can make a point, yes.
You have 5 songs that were on 2 people's lists.
We have 5 songs that were on 2 people's lists.
At least. And then one that was on all 3 of your lists.
And one that was on all 3 of our lists. Okay, and then... The one that was on all 3 of our list was which one?
Mr. Crowley, I think. Heather, did you have that one?
I did.
Yes,
9.
It was Mr. Crowley.
Mr. Crowley, okay. So, I mean, it would be a really short episode.
Do you want to hear which ones they are?
Yeah, what are they?
Mr. Crowley, War Pigs, Mama, I'm Coming Home, Bark at the Moon, and Goodbye to Romance. Which Heather's probably good with, because it's all of hers.
What? Oh, it isn't.
Let me say this though, like after, I don't want to sleep on Believer right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because just going back and listen, like I do think if I'm going to sit here and say that I think that that's maybe his best vocal, and this is the very best of Ozzy Osbourne, I can see myself wanting to slide Believer into the list, into the top five,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense to anybody here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do think we had two. War Pigs had two number one. I think War Pigs is probably going over.
I think so. Yeah, that's fair. That's very fair.
And then we all had Crowley, Mr. Crowley, on the list. I feel like that one's going over. But you know how sometimes you get these songs that you didn't list and somebody else picked them, and then you get a chance to listen to them with the headset on, and it's like, oh, now wait a minute, I'm hearing some stuff I didn't really pay attention to. Like Believer is one that I'm starting to talk myself into moving over.
I'll make a deal, or I would be willing to extract Bark at the Moon if we make War Pigs number one, and then Bark at the Moon goes in, and I mean Believer goes in, Bark at the Moon can come out.
I'm cool with that, actually. I'm cool. I think War Pigs is probably going to be number one anyway, because there's two votes for it to be number one. So I'm fine with that.
Okay. Believer is a superior song to Bark at the Moon.
I would agree. Yeah. Okay. There's some really good songs that didn't get in the top. That didn't get drafted.
Right.
I mean, Over the Mountain, I love Over the Mountain.
I do too. No More Tears.
You know? No More. Oh, yeah. Man. So I mean, like, I'm sitting, like, I had, like, this selection of 10 to 12 songs, and I probably spent, like, 30 or 45 minutes, like, just moving them up and down the draft board, you know?
My list kept scratching out.
All right. So you've got your five, right?
Okay, what are they?
They are War Pigs, Mr. Crowley, Goodbye to Romance, Believer, and Mama, I'm Coming Home. I'm assuming that you're going to put War Pigs at one, because that was the thing.
Yes.
And then probably Mr. Crowley is going to be two, because it's on all three of your lists.
It's my number two, so I would be satisfied with
Julia
that.
Julia agrees. So now what you're trying to do is you're ranking 3, 4, and 5, Goodbye to Romance, Believer, Mama, I'm Coming Home.
I would say Mama, I'm Coming Home, Believer, Goodbye to Romance.
This is such a weird three songs.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Because like when you think of Ozzy Osbourne, these three songs are like not the quintessential Ozzy Osbourne songs. Right? You've essentially got two ballads and a song that's about you know, trying to uplift you. It's so weird. But we do have an occultist song in there, so we've checked the box. Yeah.
So Heather said her order.
Yeah.
So what order would you put these in?
I would say, I think I would put Goodbye to Romance, Mama, I'm Coming Home, and then Believer, honestly.
Okay. Man, I would push Believer all the way to number three for me.
We're doing the thing.
I would, for me, it would be Believer three. God, these two songs are so good. I've got Mama, I'm Coming Home, and then Goodbye to Romance in that order. So that's, but Goodbye to Romance is so good.
It is.
You know?
It is good.
I might switch it. I would probably say Believer, Goodbye to Romance, Mama, I'm Coming Home.
So that's, okay.
That's literally three of the exact opposites. Helped us none. So, Julia, since it's your first appearance on the thing, I would jump on the train with Ben agreeing to say, I'd put Believer at number three since it's yours. I'd be like, that's a great idea, Ben. You should do that. So that's two people wanting Believer at number three. I'm going to write it down. It's in pen. It's done. All right.
And then I'll let y'all decide between, because no. It's literally one, you know, like it, let's say it's number one. Let's say it's 1A and 1B for me.
Well, you kind of can't. Because you're the swing vote on this
one.
I'm
the swing vote.
Yep. Between Goodbye to Romance and Mama, I'm Coming Home. Oh. So that was a nice try and pawn that off, but you can't.
Jeez. I don't know. I mean, they're so good. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to stick with my original selection here, which I had Mama, I'm Coming Home right before. I mean, I'm literally neck and neck. It's five and six on my list.
Ah.
And so I'm going to go with Mama, I'm Coming Home, and then Goodbye to Romance.
All right. See, that wasn't that hard.
It was hard for me.
Yeah, it was easy for me because I just had to watch it all.
It wasn't that hard to write this down.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. But I did a really good job at doing that. Okay, so we have
a top five.
A top five, our final ranking of the best Aussie/Black Sabbath songs. Number one, War Pigs. Number two, Mr. Crowley. Three, Believer. Four, Mama, I'm Coming Home. And five, Goodbye to Romance.
All right. Well, there it is. That's the very best of Ozzy Osbourne.
Good job, Julia. Two on the list. Your first time out. That's right. Good.
Very good job.
40% of the list.
Yeah.
Right out. And so how'd you like being a guest?
It was really fun. I'm like,
You want to come back sometime when we have another?
Yes, for sure. Yeah. And I'm like, when she first asked me, I'm like, I'm not good at talking, but yeah, I'll do it, I guess.
You got it.
No, you did great. I'm not really a vocalist, but those two are like real vocalists. And so, you know, Sean plays the drums and Mark, who's not been a guest yet.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, one time. Mark is an instrumentalist with an excellent guitar player. It's nice to have, you know, people that know how to play a scale, you know, and play with proficiency on an instrument, because like Beth and Heather and I were raised really more from a family that we look at the lyrics. I mean, we're very lyrically driven musical family. And so what's interesting is like when we get the people that play the instruments, they hear things that we oftentimes do not hear with how good people are on the instrument.
And did we mention how good Julia is on guitar?
I don't think so. And I was just going to say, let me take that. Because you said she's really good, but like, I want to give people an idea of how good she is. Because I don't know. How long have you been playing?
Five or 6 years.
So she was like, I think I maybe want to pick up guitar. And Mark was like, okay, so I think I have an amp laying around. I can bring you or whatever. And we came to visit one time. He brought it over to her and they were fiddling around with it. And the next time we came, she was already playing like intricate Kirk Hammett stuff. And we were like, okay, so it's like that. And then she's just gotten better as time goes on. She spends a lot of time practicing. And recently our band, our bass player, his wife is great with child. And so we had a gig scheduled for a year.
Right, Book of Luke.
A year in advance that we had this gig booked, and his child is due like the days around it. So he was like, guys, I can't be an hour away and potentially miss the birth of my child. And so we were kind of like, uh-oh, this is our biggest gig of the year. And so Mark said, I know somebody. And so Julia, who was not a bass player particularly, she shreds. She's amazing at electric guitar. He said, can you learn these songs? Can you help us out? It's a month. She had a month to learn 3.5 hours worth of stuff. She showed up to practice, had it all memorized already. She's playing insane, like stuff in the bass lines that we didn't even know was there. And so Like, when you hear Julia talk about these songs, like, if you might need to just go back and listen to her analysis of these, because she knows what, she, what the yeah. heck she's talking about.
Yeah.
Well, so what I would say is we need to go ahead and plan on doing, especially since you've talked about you've been getting into 90s music. Yes. We haven't done 90s yeah, guitarist
we have
yet.
Not.
So I think we ought to put that on the schedule sometime and ask her back. How about yeah. that? And maybe and like Mark it. Too, because Mark's a
yeah.
Mark's a really good guitarist himself, and so we could have an interesting powwow there. That would be. And then we would have five, and we could still outvote each other. We wouldn't have an even number of votes. We could all have our own vote.
True. Oh, okay.
Maybe we only get we already have three. Maybe we only do two. We only get two picks.
Maybe.
You know, that would be 10. We would go 10, 2, 5.
Exactly yeah. like that. Yep.
So, before we let you go, though, I want to remind you that you need to vote for us in these categories. Please, please, please find your way to RCAST, the voting. You can find that link on
A-R-K-A-S-T.
Our Facebook. Yeah. Oh, yeah. ARK as in like Noah's Ark or Arkansas. RCAST.
And we'll have a link.
Yep. We have a link on our Facebook page.
We'll put it on Instagram.
We'll put it on Instagram. I'll put it on TikTok. Not TikTok. I don't have TikTok.
X.
That's the one. We'll put it on there. Please
read them carefully. All your addresses.
Your
addresses.
Yeah, like every email you got, go ahead and vote for them. Please, we really want to repeat as the best music podcast in the history of the world.
That's what it says. right on the award.
Well, we originally thought it just meant we were the best in Arkansas, but then we find out that there are
surrounding states. Yeah.
So it's like the entire world.
And Beth didn't get to go last time, so we want to make sure that she gets to go.
That's right.
To the ceremony.
And I bought a really cheap Rolling Stones t-shirt from Walmart just for that occasion too, that I wore with my blazer over the top of it.
Yep.
Yeah. Found that $7.99 at the Wally World. Look good with those that blazer.
Staying on brand.
Go vote for them right now. Do it.
And as always, like we said, we mentioned our social media. Like, share, follow us, interact with us. If there are any categories you would like to see us take on, let us know what they are. If you vehemently disagree with our selections, let us know. Argue with us. We'll argue with you right back.
Yep.
I promise you.
Just
we
like
will
family.
Argue with you. If you want us to argue with you, we will argue with you. I promise.
Ew.
We like
okay.
it.
Where'd that come?
We like it.
With you.
Bring the heat.
Unfortunately, right. You couldn't see that.
So
that neck wobble there.
Thank you. Next.
Anyway,
2 weeks from now, we're coming at you with a Halloween special, best TV horror themes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Best TV horror themes. That's
horror.
Horror. What did I say? I'm from Arkansas, okay? So, and sometimes it's the same thing. So we'll catch you in 2 weeks. TV horror theme songs.
Thanks for joining us on the Music List Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. She almost had it.